Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, January 30th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. 12 people have applied to be Sitka's next municipal attorney. Teresa Hillhouse is stepping down in March after more than 7 years on the job, and members of the Sitka Assembly will meet tonight to pick finalists to replace her. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, being the city's top lawyer is not an easy job.
The dozen applications include 2 from Sitka, 4 from elsewhere in Alaska, and 6 from out of state. Some have more than 30 years of experience, and a couple of applicants aren't attorneys at all. All of them are asking for a big job.
The job of the attorney for the city of Sitka is more difficult than it appears from the outside.
Cliff Groh held the position from 2000 until 2005.
You don't have colleagues directly. You can hire some outside counsel to help you some, but you have a budget, and you have to watch that.
The municipal attorney deals with contract law, commercial law, parliamentary procedure, ballot law, even criminal law. In Sitka, they prosecute certain offenses, including traffic tickets and ordinance violations. And then there are the finer points of the job, such as practicing discretion and confidentiality in a small town where you're as likely to run into an adversary in the produce section as you are in the courtroom.
So like being a doctor in a small town. One doctor in Sitka told me that one of his blessings on his job was that he had a short memory in terms of not remembering sort of like, you know, what certain people's private parts look like later, right, when you're handing them again in the street.
Okay, so being municipal attorney might not be that sensitive, but there are a lot of legal waters to navigate and a lot of political boulders to avoid along the way. That's why Groh says hiring the position is tricky. His advice?
Look for somebody who wants the job for the right reasons.
Yeah, the person has to want to live in Sitka and must have the right qualifications, but also, Groh says it has to be someone who has what he calls, quote, the requisite attitude and judgment.
Look for somebody who can work with an administrator. They're going to have to work closely with the administrator and work closely with other people, a variety of other people in the city and borough government, on a whole variety of aspects.
Cliff Groh lives in Anchorage now. He's not involved in Sitka's hiring process, and although he thought briefly about applying for his old job again, he says life is different now, and he's staying where he is. He practices law privately and does a little writing, too. As for the hiring process, assembly members will screen candidates and talk to some of them by phone before deciding on finalists to invite to Sitka for an in-person interview. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The assembly begins screening applications at 6 p.m. tonight inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Sitka Jazz Festival is set to kick off this Friday and Saturday at the Sitka Performing Arts Center. Students from Sitka and other parts of Alaska will perform earlier in the evening, followed by a cast of jazz greats each night.
Renowned composer and saxophonist Tom Scott is in the lineup, as well as Barbara Morrison and the Greatlanders Air Force Band of the Pacific. Catherine Kramer will be tap dancing in the first dance performance the festival has ever had on its program. But Sitka Jazz Festival co-director John DePilatis says the event is about more than the concerts. There are 23 workshops that will run on Friday morning and into the afternoon on Saturday. Classes range from basic jazz theory to learning the art of improvisation.
If you just come to the concerts, you're really not seeing the festival itself, which is, it's kind of like an iceberg, you know, and you see the concerts, but underneath is all of this educational stuff going on. And so Saturday, we've got all these different clinics going on, everything from, you know, very specific Greatlanders working with trombone players to I think our last session is there in the auditorium with just Barbara Morrison and Tom Scott just talking about stuff. You know, we really look for people who are good with students because this is equally as strong an educational festival as it is a performance festival.
Students can attend the workshops as well as anyone who has an all-festival pass. There are free concerts on Thursday and Friday from noon to 1 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Performances by students from Sitka, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Juneau, and Kodiak will start at 6 p.m., and the pros will hit the stage from 8 to 10:30 p.m. For more information about the Sitka Jazz Festival schedule or where to buy tickets, visit our website, kcaw.org. Princess Cruise Lines has agreed to pay $20,000 in fines for accidentally dumping water from an onboard swimming pools into Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve in 2011. The fine was announced by the Environmental Protection Agency on Tuesday, along with 6 other enforcement actions taken in Alaska late last year. In a consent agreement in the final court order, the EPA writes that Princess violated the Clean Water Act in May 2011 when about 277 tons of pool water was discharged into the waters of Glacier Bay National Park. That equals about 66,300 gallons of water. EPA writes that there was a software malfunction on the ship, the Golden Princess, causing the pool dump valves to open. The malfunction allowed chlorinated water from six of the ship's pools and spas to dump into Glacier Bay. Princess notified EPA of the discharges by phone the next day. The EPA said the incident violated the wastewater discharge permit for large cruise ships, which prohibits the discharge of pool or spa water in national parks and refuges. The Federal Clean Water Act allows the EPA to fine cruise companies for permit violations. The Golden Princess can host more than 500 passengers and sails in Alaska during the summer season. It sails to Hawaii, the South Pacific, and South America at other times of the year. Southeast gill netters will be able to fish for just over 1,000 tons of herring in Seymour Canal off of Admiralty Island this spring. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has announced a guideline harvest level of 1,014 tons in the Sacro fishery, which is somewhat above the average for the past half decade. Gill netters had GHL of just under 1,300 tons last year, but they never got to fish it. That's because the herring never congregated in large enough schools to have an opening. While the fishery was a bust last year, the herring population itself is in good shape, according to Juneau area management biologist Dave Harris.
The return of herring to the area, and the spawn was just fine, as a matter of fact. The fish didn't present themselves last year in a way that would lead to a viable commercial fishery. And although we waited on the grounds for, almost 3 weeks, it was all agreed between the department, fishermen, and the processors present that there was never really an option for a fishery.
The department tries to open herring fisheries just before the major spawn, when the females are ripest with eggs and large schools of fish mass near the beach. Fishermen target the herring for their roe. Older, bigger fish generally have more roe, and according to Harris, the forecast for this spring looks good on that front.
Predominantly, a good portion of the fish are the 8-plus, the older fish. About 30% of the return is forecasted to be those sizes. And then the age 4, which are the fish generally start recruiting into the fishery at age 3, and then age 4 is about another 30% or so of the return is anticipated there, with the kind of the remaining ages of 3 to 7 sort of about the same but spread out in there. So it'll be pretty much larger fish that the gillnet will be targeting this year.
Seymour is the only herring fishery scheduled to be open for Southeast gillnetters. It typically takes off in late April, sometime after the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery. Despite an apology from Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp about leaving area residents out of the loop, community leaders around Southeast have been speaking out about the changes to the Alaska Class Ferry project. Almost every community in the region will be affected by the proposed switch to smaller, open-decked vessels. Two of the most outspoken are Skagway and Haines. They're suggesting that the DOT experiment with existing open-deck ferry in the Lynn Canal this winter just to see what happens. Margaret Friedenauer of KHNS has more.
Department of Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp has decided to scrap plans for a single Alaska-class ferry in favor of two smaller and cheaper shuttle ferries. He told legislators that was the original intent of the project when it first began in 2006, but because of public involvement, the concept grew to a single, larger ferry that was over budget. But residents and officials of Haines and Skagway can find very little they like about the shuttle ferry idea or how the project changed course. Last week, Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer made his point clear when he spoke to legislators about that issue.
I must admit, listening to some of the testimony about how we got to the Alaska-class ferry, I'm not sure where in the process the word public input disappeared. I can't do things that way. I've been mayor here for many, many terms. And if I didn't listen to the public, I wouldn't be mayor for many, many terms.
Another issue is the estimated cost savings. Kemp said he can build the two shuttle ferries with the remaining $120 million left in the ferry project budget, even though a single Alaska-class ferry was estimated to exceed that number. That seems suspect to Jan Rentmore, the chair of the Skagway Ad Hoc Marine Transportation Committee. She said if something happens in the process or the ferries come in over budget and only one shuttle ferry is built, then the whole idea falls apart.
They need both boats. And if they run over budget and they can only build one shuttle, they can't make that plan work. And they don't have any options at that point because they've removed the crew quarters. So this gets into the Coast Guard regulations. If there are no crew quarters, something called the 12-hour rule kicks in, and the boat cannot operate legally beyond the Haines-Juneau run. So without that second boat, Skagway, there would be no service to Skagway as far as I can see.
For Haines officials and residents, one of the biggest concerns of the shuttle plan is seaworthiness of the smaller boats. In her recent testimony to the Joint Transportation Committee, Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott said Commissioner Kemp should end speculation about whether the shuttle ferry design has an open car deck. She proposed the DOT bring its open deck vessel to the Lynn Canal to see how that design would work in local waters.
Test the concept directly. The state owns an open deck vessel, Lilituya, designed by Coastwise Alaska, the group now consulting with DOTPS. She sails between Metlakatla and Ketchikan. Trade her out for the Leconte and sail her in the Lynn Canal this February and March. Not even in the worst weather. See how it works.
Commissioner Kemp also said his plan would require one of the shuttles to Homeport in Haines. That, he said, would create 15 to 20 new jobs in the community. Nobody has denied that could be an important boon for the community. But state economist Mally Abramson said it's hard to quantify those jobs just yet without knowing what the trade-offs in the local job market would be. And along with all the discussions and committee meetings about the project is something else of importance for the ferry system. It's the 50th anniversary of the Alaska Marine Highway this year.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Today in Sitka, rain is likely with highs around 44, east wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, rain likely, lows around 38, east wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And the rest of the week, rain is likely. KCAW.